You've been paying attention these last 3 weeks, you know that we've been talking about various concrete things that we can do in our life in order to open our heart and our soul to receive the outpouring of God's grace for healing and restoration, and not only physical healing, but first and foremost, interior healing. We've talked about how we must come to believe that the evils in our lives are not from God, and that God really does desire for every person to experience the depth of his healing touch. We talked about the necessity of praying to the Holy Spirit for guidance and of making a firm decision to break all ties with any pattern of sin in our life. We also mentioned the necessity of reinforcing that decision to break free from sin, especially in times when we're not tempted. We shouldn't wait until a moment of temptation and think that we're going to be strong then. And finally, we talked about changing our ways of thinking about things so as to change the way we feel about them and ultimately change behaviors. Today, the gospel and the first reading perhaps point to two more insights for us, things that we can do to open our hearts to receive God's healing in our life this Lent. The first comes from the example of Jesus in the gospel. And some people think Jesus was having a bad day. I don't really take that approach. We don't know exactly why he went into the temple and got so angry at those who were selling animals for sacrifice and the people who were changing money. After all, God had ordered the people to offer sacrifice. People went to the temple and offered sacrifice because they were being obedient to God. And so, to sell animals and to provide, you know, money exchange there for those who needed it, who came from foreign lands, it seems like that would be very much within reason. So we don't know exactly why Jesus went in there. Perhaps there was some corruption that had crept in to the practice of selling the animals and changing the money. In any case, Jesus very clearly demonstrates a passion, a great zeal. In fact, John tells us the disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." What does that have to do with us? If we're going to expect any kind of change in our life in terms of overcoming the obstacles that keep God's grace from flowing in our lives, we have to invest something. We've got to stir up some zeal, some energy for fighting this battle. Nothing will change if we are indifferent, even to the smallest sin. Because if we're comfortable even with a small sin, then it's easy to be comfortable with another small sin, and a third, and a fourth. And before we know it, then we're comfortable with more serious forms of sin. But if we're zealous and very passionate about fighting this battle, then we can't be okay with any degree of sin in our life. And so we know that this takes hard work. You all know very well that getting over a bad habit, or in fact changing anything in our life, is hard to do. We're creatures of habit. We get kind of set in our ways of doing things. And those ways are not always the best ways. So the first thing, for our first point for reflection today, is to follow the example of Jesus in the zeal with which he approaches a situation that needs correcting. Our second point is looking at the commandments that are given in the law to Moses in the book of Exodus. Maybe when we think about God's law that he revealed, we think of a large, long series of thou shalt not. And we think about being obedient in terms of not doing all these things. But sometimes maybe we forget that the commandments are not so much aimed at our our inaction, our non-action, if you will, or at prohibiting us from certain things, as they are aimed at fostering virtue, making us into better people. God wants us to be holy. God's aim is not to make us not sinners or not something. God wants to make us something, something good and holy and righteous and virtuous. So when we're looking at things in our lives that we want to change, big or small, patterns of thought, speech, or action, it's good for us to remember that one of the best things we can do is to practice and deliberately do the opposite good thing. So instead of white-knuckling it, as I call it, you know, oh, I've got to stop this, got to change my ways here or there, you know, just kind of gripping this this drive to stop doing something, it's rather a matter of saying, what's the opposite of this thing, this negative thing that I'm doing? And I'm going to practice that. And every sin, no matter what it is, has an opposite virtue to practice. So we go out and intentionally work on doing that virtuous thing, and we'll find that the vice lessens and lessens and eventually dies. So, for example, you know, if someone struggles with gluttony or lack of self-discipline, intemperance, the opposing virtue is temperance and self-discipline. So that's what we're all about in Lent, right? We take on these spiritual practices and sacrifices, not just for the sake of doing them, but realizing we're working on increasing the virtue of temperance and the right use of food and other material things. Someone struggles with greed or stinginess or something like that. Well, what's the opposite virtue? Generosity. So someone struggling with that, they can make a decision. I'm just going to start being more and more generous. I'm going to write a check to charity every week or something, whatever it might be. As much as they might not want to do that, they're going to grow in the virtue of generosity, and the vice of greediness will die away. The sin of anger. The opposite virtue is patience. If you struggle with anger, deliberately put yourself into a situation that you know is going to require patience. And be determined to be patient. Don't just go into the situation and let loose. But go and practice patience. The more you practice patience, the less anger is going to be a problem in your life. Pride, of course, the opposite virtue is humility. And we might think, well, what could I do to increase the virtue of humility? Am I supposed to go out and make a fool of myself? No. Well, you could if you want. That might help you grow in virtue. But there are many things you could do. For example, maybe there's a homebound friend who needs help cleaning the bathroom. That's a humbling task. Or, I mean, there can be all kinds of different ways to humble ourselves, kind of knock ourselves off that prideful pedestal. Whatever it is in our life, whatever vice we might struggle with, we've got to remember that it's not just a matter of saying no to that. No, 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 no. It's a matter of practicing the opposite virtue, because that's what God really wants. God wants us to grow into saints. He wants us to develop patterns of holiness in our life. So those are our two points for today. Approaching this battle with great zeal, devoting energy to it, as Jesus did, and secondly, remembering that it's through the practice of virtue that vice is most effectively overcome. And when those vices come tumbling down or are destroyed in our life, then the pathway is open to receive grace and healing from God.